praise thee, Lord, for thy great plan, that we thy dwelling place may be.
Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry. During his ministry, Witness Lee emphasized the experience of Christ as life and the practical oneness of the believers. He was unbending in his conviction that God's goal is the body of Christ. Through his messages, he stressed the importance for us to grow in life and to function as Christians so that the body can build itself up. We're happy to bring you recorded portions from his ministry today, along with some of our own thoughts, and we welcome your comments and questions. You can reach us toll-free at 888-LIFE-STUDY. That's 888-543-3788. Now let's join today's program.
The book of Galatians reveals two categories of people: those born according to flesh and those born according to spirit. We might think this refers to Christians and non-Christians, and in a sense, that's true. But in fact, as believers in Christ, our experience testifies that we can be in either category. The great conflict of flesh and spirit is our focus on today's Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program furnished by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. And with us today is Gary Kaiser to be part of the program. Welcome back to the program, Gary.
Thank you very much. It's good to be with you.
You know, Gary, Galatians is a book that focuses on Christ replacing the law. Too many people study the Bible and this matter of Christ replacing the law as doctrine, but we're going to get a brief view of every chapter today, and the inescapable conclusion has to be that the Lord Jesus in this book is trying to bring us into the experience of Christ by replacing the law. What are the keys, Gary, in Galatians that unlock this matter for us experientially?
Well, Matt, I believe that you've really put your finger on a major factor here related to the matter of Christ replacing the law, but not as doctrine. And that's a crucial thing for us to realize, that we are studying here the experience of Christ as a replacement of the law, not simply a teaching about Christ being the replacement of the law. So we've seen that in chapter 1, the focus is on Christ as the one who's revealed in us. In chapter 2, we have to go on from his being revealed in us, that is to say, from the fact that he was born into us, we have to go on to the matter of living Christ. So Paul said, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. This is a dynamic factor. It's a living experiential matter. There is another life within us that is poured out and is becoming our experience.
It's a famous verse, Galatians 2:20.
Exactly. Then in chapter 3 and following, there is a change. Suddenly, it is no longer Christ who is spoken of, but the Spirit. And actually, the Spirit is the means by which we will experience this Christ who is in us, because in fact his being revealed in us is as the Spirit. The fact of his living in us is as the Spirit. And now we're instructed really by Paul's experiential review of everything that Christ is in us as the Spirit. So in chapter 3, the major focus is on our having the divine life. We've seen it's a complicated chapter, but the focus is mainly the divine life. Chapter 4 is related to being born of God. What a marvelous factor that is, born of God. Chapter 5, it goes on to talk about our living and walking according to the Spirit. And then later today, we'll see chapter 6 opens up the matter of our sowing to the Spirit or to the flesh.
Thanks for that overview, Gary. We're going to see that that overview is somewhat expanded by Witness Lee in our first session today. He's really going to touch on all of these chapters very briefly. So let's join him right now.
In chapter 1 and chapter 2, Paul presents to us in an unveiling way how God is pleased to reveal His Son, Christ, into us. Then, with 4 chapters, Paul is going on to tell us how to experience, how to enjoy this very Christ. In Revelation, the very one who is the Son of God's economy is Christ. In Revelation, He is Christ. But in experience, right now, He becomes the Spirit.
Amen.
So, from chapter 3, chapter after chapter, you have the Spirit. Always the Spirit. Then Paul, with a rebuking tone, asks them, you have begun by the Spirit. Are you going to be perfected by the flesh? Now, he brought in the flesh in contrast to the Spirit. In chapter 2, the contrast is between Christ and I. I have been crucified. Now, it is no more I, but Christ that lives in me. But here, from chapter 3, in experience, it is the Spirit and it is the flesh. And this indicates the Spirit in chapter 3 is the Christ in chapter 2. And the flesh in chapter 3 is the I in chapter 2. So now you have a contrast, the Spirit against the flesh. And this contrast begins from chapter 3 through chapter 4 and 5 and ends in chapter 6. In every chapter of this 4, you have a contrast. In chapter 3, the contrast is between the Spirit and the flesh. Then, in chapter 4, the contrast is between the children born according to the flesh and the children born according to the Spirit. There is such a contrast between two categories of children. On the one hand, you are children born according to what? Flesh. And another, past heavenly sins. You are also children born according to what? Spirit. So within you have two things, two essences, two elements, two natures, the Spirit and the flesh. Then in chapter 5, you have another contrast. That is, the works of the flesh is in contrast to the fruit of the Spirit. Then in chapter 6, you have another contrast. A contrast between different sowings. Two kinds of sowings. In the first 2 chapters, you have a revelation unveiling to you that Christ is the focus in God's economy. Then, following these 2 chapters, we have to experience Christ. So, in the last 4 chapters, we have the Spirit in experience. In the last 4 chapters, firstly, we have the Spirit for life. Then we have the Spirit for birth, the divine birth. Thirdly, we have the Spirit for our daily work. Then lastly, we have the Spirit for our age. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Have you got the secrets?
Well, Gary, in these last four chapters of Galatians, Paul uses a lot of contrast, primarily regarding the flesh and the spirit, particularly in chapters 3, 4, and 5. What are these contrasts trying to convey to us about the struggle between the flesh and the spirit?
Well, one of the things that the Apostle Paul speaks about is, for freedom, Christ has set you free. And the reason for that statement is that we are in this real struggle between the flesh and the spirit. As you brought out in the beginning, there is a definite experience within us of both of these aspects, the flesh and the spirit. So in one moment we may be in the flesh, another moment in the spirit. The flesh indicates the totality of our fallen being, and the spirit indicates our realization of Christ within us as a living entity. So we are here between these two. The struggle against the flesh is very real within us. We know in Galatians chapter 5, there are the works of the flesh, the fornication, the uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, and so on. And often we think that is the flesh, but actually the flesh goes far beyond that. Flesh is anything that is not the spirit. So Paul in chapter 7 of Romans expresses the good self as the struggling one against the flesh. And many times we feel that's what the struggle is our good self versus the flesh. But actually, our good self is still part of the flesh. So at the end of chapter 7, Paul says, "Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from the body of this death?" Then Paul has a realization, "I thank God through Jesus Christ." Now we're seeing that Jesus Christ is the Spirit, and we are set free in this Spirit to pursue daily a walk with God. It's a tremendous thing that we have now the capacity to live this life because we are one with the Spirit, who is Jesus Christ living through us.
Thanks, Gary. We're going to come to chapter 6 now in this next section with Witness Lee, and particularly look at two verses, Galatians 6, verses 7 and 8. "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For he who sows unto his own flesh will reap corruption of the flesh. But he who sows unto the Spirit will of the Spirit reap eternal life." Let's rejoin Witness Lee. This is a marvelous portion ahead.
The human life is a sowing life. And sowing means what? Sowing means putting out something to grow for your reaping. You may say, "I don't mean that." What do you mean that? You don't mean that. As long as you sow, it will grow, and that will be your reaping. You say, "I don't mean that." As long as you sow, it grows. And whatever it grows, it becomes your reaping. This is serious. My, so many human beings today are living in a way careless, not aware of the fact that they are sowing. All the people in society are not aware that their life is sowing. Even we believers, not many among you, are really aware that whatever you are, whatever you do, whatever you say, wherever you go, whatever you buy, even whatever you eat, is a consuming. You are sowing something. And you say, "I don't mean that. I'm not sowing. I'm playing. I'm not sowing. I'm criticizing." Be careful. Whatever you criticize, So something. Whatever you say, whatever you do, whatever you are, wherever you go, always so something. Actually, what Apostle Paul means is to be unaware. Whatever you do, you say, you are, a result will come out. A result will come out for your reaping. You will receive that result. So Paul says, beware about your sowing. Don't sow unto the flesh. If you do, surely you shall reap. Reap what? Reap corruption of the flesh. If you sow unto the Spirit, you also will reap life eternal of the Spirit. Flesh is in contrast to the Spirit, and corruption is in contrast with eternal life. Only two kinds of reapings, no neutral, either corruption or eternal life. In other words, either corruption or life. And corruption, no doubt, includes what? Death. Only two kinds of reapings would be possible. Either corruption, including death, or life. It all depends upon what kind of sowing we are carrying on. If the sowing is into the Spirit, you will reap life eternal.
Well, Gary, the contrast between the flesh and the Spirit continues here in chapter 6 in a very specific way in this matter of sowing. It's very important that we see what Paul meant by the term sowing, isn't it?
Matt, it's very interesting to me that Brother Lee here defines sowing as something related to the true meaning of human life. So he opens up a vista here for us to see that everything we do in our human life, whether it's in the spiritual realm or whether it's in the natural realm, everything that we do is a sowing, and there will be a reaping. Many times we feel that we may be able to compartmentalize our lives. We have a little bit over here that we're doing, but it's not the focus of our life, so it doesn't make any difference. But Brother Lee here points out that whatever we sow, according to the Bible, will produce something that will be a reaping. It may be a reaping today. It may be a reaping 10 years from now. It may be a reaping 20 years from now. But God is not mocked. Whatever we sow, we will reap. This should become a very real warning sign to us within our being that we will not loosely practice anything. A matter of criticizing, Brother Lee mentions, a matter of gossiping, the matter of spending our time in areas of living that produce something of the flesh. We have to realize everything will produce something. And there are only two categories eventually, the spirit and the flesh. This is a real warning sign to us. We have to be careful what we sow.
Boy, Gary, it's very sobering. It's an inescapable principle that sowing leads to reaping. Let's go back to Witness Lee.
What is the goal of your living on this earth? Only two goals. Either the goal of the flesh or the goal of the spirit. Here, flesh includes everything. All the things other than the things of the spirit. Whatever is not included, covered in the spirit, that is a part of the flesh. To gossip is a part of the flesh. To go sporting is a part of the flesh. To read the newspaper, not controlled by the Spirit, is a part of the flesh. Everything, anything, all things other than things of the Spirit are flesh. To call on the name of the Lord is a part of the Spirit. You see, to pray is a part of the Spirit. To minister Christ to others is a part of the Spirit. To fellowship in life that some others may be edified is a part of the Spirit. My goal, you have to say, is the Spirit.
Amen.
Now, I am sowing into this goal. I am sowing with a view to carry out this goal. I don't go shopping in that world way. Not because I'm religious. Not because my bank account doesn't allow me to do this. Not because some regulations. Paul's burden in this book is to unveil to us that Christ must be the focus of our Christian walk because he's the focus of God's economy. God has revealed him into us, and now we have to leave him. This is the revelation. Then she goes on, how to experience such a focal Christ. Number one, to have the Spirit as our life. To have the Spirit that we may have a divine birth. To have the Spirit for our daily walk. And eventually, to have this Spirit as our goal. As our aim. We are not aimless people. We are not wandering. We have a goal. We have a strong aim, a unique aim. And this aim is what? This aim is just the Spirit.
Amen.
The Spirit.
Amen.
The all-inclusive Spirit. Go to the Lord. Lord, I will call the heavens and the earth to witness that I would make a vow with you, Lord. Take you, the life-giving Spirit, the all-inclusive, compound Spirit, as my goal, as my aim.
Amen.
Whatever we do, whatever I live, whatever I say, whatever I buy, whatever I wear, whatever I eat, whatever, I will do it into this goal.
Gary, Galatians has revealed so much about the Spirit. The Spirit is how Christ becomes real and experiential to us, and we've also seen that by the Spirit we live and walk. And now we have another matter today, and that is that the Spirit is to become our goal and our aim. Gary, what is it to have the Spirit as our goal?
It's identified here in a clear way. Our entire living is with a view to or resulting in. With a view to the Spirit, or resulting in the Spirit. Our living matters. What we do with our life matters. And I've frequently asked people as I've spoken with them, what else are you going to do with your life? What's your life all about? It matters what we do with our life. It matters how we live. As Brother Lee said, we're not an aimless people. We have a definite goal, a definite direction. Paul expressed it in Philippians chapter 3, where he said, I forget the things behind and I just press toward the mark, the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That was his goal. He was running a race. He was doing a work on the earth that was in spirit. It was not something of carrying out his personal purpose and goal, but he was laboring together with God toward the Spirit, with a view to the Spirit, to produce something of the Spirit. So we have to have the realization, whatever we do, we've already mentioned things like gossiping, the matter of our criticizing others, the matter of our living in such a way that we have no aim, no direction. We should recognize one of the things in our time is the social media. And so much time is focused on meaningless communication, meaningless statements, but worse than meaningless. Actually, the view is the flesh. There is a sowing to the flesh, and there will be a reaping of the flesh. The spirit is not our goal. The flesh is our goal. If we are able to grasp that, we come to a realization, would I spend my entire life with the goal of the flesh? Or will I really focus my attention on the goal of the spirit? Is the spirit really my goal? If we don't have this kind of realization, we will one day reap of the flesh. But if we have this realization, praise the Lord, there will be a reaping of the Spirit.
You know, Gary, we're going to come back to this matter in our next program. I wish you and I had more time to get into it today, but we don't. How significant and how profound it is in our Christian experience, Christ could be so much to us as the Spirit. Appreciate having you with us all today, and I hope you'll come back soon.
Thank you. I'd be happy to do that.
And we hope that there's been some insight for you and some light to you in your walk with the Lord as you listen to our program today. Please contact us, and our toll-free number is 1-888-LIFESTUDY. That's 1-888-543-3788. Or you can write to us at Living Stream Ministry, P.O. Box 2121, Anaheim, California, 92814. Or send email to us to radio@lsm.org. We'll come back in our next program with another life study message from Galatians. And again, we're going to touch this matter of sowing and reaping. Please join us for that. On behalf of Gary Kaiser, this is Matt Miller. Thanks for listening today.
You've been listening to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, produced by Living Stream Ministry. Witness Lee ministered the Word of God for over 7 decades. Many consider these life studies as his seminal work, an exhaustive commentary on the entire Bible from the perspective of the believer's enjoyment and experience of God's divine life in Christ through the Spirit. If you'd like to find more about Witness Lee, these life study messages, or any of the materials provided by Living Stream Ministry, please visit our website, lsm.org. That's lsm.org. You can also email us, radio@lsm.org, or call us toll-free, 1-888-LIFESTUDY. Thanks for listening today.